Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Book of Acts and chapter 11, if you would. The book of Acts and chapter 11. Great persecution has broken out in the church at Jerusalem, in the city of Jerusalem. There are people, of course, that are anti-God and anti-gospel. And where people went, they took with them Jesus. Where people went in that first century, they took with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. I got good news. Did you hear a Messiah came? Did you hear he came to Jerusalem and he was crucified? They hung him on a cross, but he conquered death. He conquered the grave, and he's alive. And listen, he's changed my life forever. The Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost. The church was born. Man, it is a great life. And they took that news with them everywhere they went. One of the cities that received the gospel was the city of Antioch. And Acts in chapter 11, verse 19 says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phenis and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and of Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus." They were bold. Verse 21, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was at Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch." So they heard that, man, Antioch and some of these other cities, they're hearing the gospel, and churches are being planted, churches are being established. There are believers there, so they sent a missionary, unto the city of Antioch. And verse 23 says, "Who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad." One of my points here in introduction is this. Paul, when he went to Antioch, or Barnabas, when he went to Antioch, he saw the grace of God. Say, "Preacher, how do you see the grace of God?" It's not a brick and mortar building. The church is the ecclesia, called out assembly. It's not brick and mortar, it's people. It's people that have been born again, happy, saved by grace people. Happy sinners saved by the Savior, Jesus Christ, and all their sins are forgiven. And then they're making an impact. And they got baptized and they band together and they formed a church, a nucleus, and a New Testament church is born. And the city of Antioch has all kinds of believers and they need some help. So Barnabas is sent by the church of Jerusalem down to Antioch. And it says again in verse 23, "Who when he came, he had seen the grace of God," saw all these changed lives. So all these people excited and wanting to serve God and hungry and wanting to learn more about Jesus. He was glad when he saw this and exhorted them, encouraged them all that with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. There's more. Getting saved is the greatest thing on earth. But there's more. After you get born again, there's a life that if you choose right and you surrender to God, the Holy Spirit, he will grow you and you will thrive. And your tribe, your people, your family will come to Christ as well as a result of an absolute, radically changed life they see in you. And that's what was going on in Antioch. Oh, they were so hungry and they were so thirsty. And what is this thing that is going on? These people that are following Jesus. And then those people that were drinking, one-time alcoholics, they're no longer partaking in drink. And those people that tell all those dirty stories and cuss and party and jump around from house to house, hopping from bed to bed. Man, their lives are radically changed. Businessmen become honest. What in the world is all this about? And they're thriving. And Barnabas comes and he sees the grace of God. Oh, the Chippewa County would see the grace of God at Fundamental Baptist Church. Oh, that your family and your co-workers and your loved ones would see the grace of God in your life. Amen. That's what was going on here. He said, "Now there's more. You press on. I want to exhort you. Cleave unto the Lord." Verse 24. "And he was a good man, for he was a good man." This is Barnabas, "and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added to the Lord." People getting saved in Barnabas' ministry. People getting saved there in the city of Antioch. It was like a snowball kind of effect. It's pretty exciting to live a long time for God. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And you stay by the stuff, and you win people to the Lord. Now, when you first get saved, you win people to the Lord. You remember everybody that you lead to the Lord because there's so few of them. But after year, a little bit of sometimers checks in and that kind of thing, you know, at the funeral on Wednesday, Pastor Rader, good to see you. I said, well, I'm sorry. Now, who are you? He said, don't you remember me? You led me to the Lord. And I said, I feel about that tall. And he goes, you know what? I can't remember my name half the time. And don't you remember me? You're the one that baptized me. Oh, yeah, I remember now. The fact is, the normal Christian life is you're going about doing that all of the time. Verse 25 says, then departed Barnabas. He said, it's too big for one man. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. He's gone to get help from this young preacher, this young man who was a promising young rabbi who's been born again and radically changed. He's gone from persecutor to preacher. Man, it's an amazing change. And so he goes and he gets Paul, Saul of Tarsus. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Let me say one more thing, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give you something that's going to help you here with your life in the day and age in which we live. They're called Christians first at Antioch. Not every believer is a Christian. All Christians are believers. The word Christian, the title Christian, is misused today. That's an earned title. To get saved, you're saved by grace. You come to Jesus as a sinner. Salvation is easy. That's a believer. You get born into the family of God, born from above. It's all of God. You're a believer. But you aren't a Christian unless you live like Christ after your salvation. Antioch is where this term was first coined. They were called Christians first at Antioch. They didn't call them Christians in Jerusalem. They called them Christians at Antioch. People could see the grace of God. Be careful you're not showing your children two different lives. That's what makes a rebel. You show them one life in church and another life at home. The devil says there's a difference between the sacred and secular. Jesus said, there's no difference between the sacred and secular. Everything's sacred when you get born again. You don't live one way at church and one way at home, a different way at home. That's a dangerous thing. So Barnabas comes and he sees the grace of God. And here's what the believers were known by in the city of Antioch. See that person over there? I knew them before and they have changed. You know, they're just like Jesus, like Christ. They're little Christs. That's what the word Christian means. Little Christ. To see, that the world would see the grace of God here in this ministry. People will come from every direction to hear the truth. People will come for what's real. And Jesus is real. He's a living God. And this world that we live in, this dark culture that we live in, we are called to be a lighthouse, and we get to show the grace of God. It is a gotta be. Let me read just a couple of more verses. Verse 26, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. The word of God is not complete. The Bible is not yet completed. God has prophets out there at this time. Verse 29 says, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Jerusalem, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Christians earn title. They're giving people. They're not a selfish people. They heard by way of prophets that there was going to be a famine in the land, and the people of Jerusalem are going to suffer greatly and around about the area of Jerusalem. And what's the first thing they did in Antioch? They took up love offerings. And they gave it unto the people to go back with Barnabas and with Saul back to Jerusalem. And they were... Christians are givers. That's not my message. That's there, so I wanted to throw that out there and not gloss over that too very quickly. I want to help you this morning in your personal growth, and I want to help this church to boom, spiritually speaking. Not boom because we get in the flesh, but boom, spiritually speaking. I want your household to know the grace of God. I want people to identify, that's a Christian over there. See my neighbor over there across the back street? That's a Christian. Back there on the other road, those people over there, they're Christian people. That's a testimony. Amen. That's 24/7, living for God. And I want to help you to behave correctly. On Wednesday, my mom's funeral, some things were shared that I'd forgotten about. Bud shared a letter that our pastor received the first year after my mom was saved. I preached a sermon on mom during Mother's Day, so I don't want to reiterate that. But we were over on Shunk Road, and mom was searching for the truth. And God said, okay, here's how you're going to get the truth. Now, I got saved when we were over there because I was invited to Vacation Bible School to a church at that time that was red hot and on fire for God and evangelistic, just like this church ought to be and is for the most part. And I went to that church, and Margene Rowe led me to the Lord. It was a wonder, and I was the first one saved. And I think Bud made a profession of faith there as well. But nobody was reaching my parents with the gospel, so God had a plan for our life. And the reason was, we had a mom that was searching for truth. She wanted to know truth. I shared this at the funeral. She had little bits of the truth, but had no understanding. She heard something about Jesus coming again and this world being destroyed, and that's kind of all she knew. And I remember sitting down and telling me, and it was probably my brothers as well, that Jesus is coming back and he's going to take us out of this world, even though she wasn't yet born again. She was just yearning for the truth, and she got kind of wrapped up in a cult for a short period of time. And I remember saying this, I you know, how's he going to get us out of this world? Well, I don't know. He saved Noah and his family with an ark and the flood. That's already been done. Maybe he's gonna land a great big jet, and we're all gonna get on board, and we're gonna get out of here before the. She had no understanding. So we move over to the other end of the Upper Peninsula, and God be thanked, there is an evangelistic gospel preaching church over there, and the preacher came and invited mom and dad to church, and through a series of events, I'll not share their testimony right now. They get saved, they get born again, radically changed. The beer fell out of our house. There was no more beer, no more Ham's beer in the refrigerator. You know, things just kind of kept falling away, and we're being radically changed from the inside out. And it's an amazing thing. And the preacher got a letter from my mom 1 year after being born again. Bud shared this at the funeral. And it just went something like this. And I remember hearing about it. I forgot all about it. Dear pastor, would you continue to pray for me? It's been 1 year since I've been born again. That's my mom. 1 year since I've been born again. And to this date, I have led 30 people to Christ. And I need more of God. What if every one of us would have led 30 people to Christ our first year of salvation? And not satisfied with that. And I look at the ministries of fun. It's not all because of her. That's not what I'm saying. But in the family tree, all of the ministries here, you can trace back to a young mom and her husband on the south end of Shunk Road, hungering for God. And the word of God says, if you seek me, you shall find me. And I can look at the ministries now and how they've branched out and all in different hemispheres even. And it's all because of Jesus. Amen. All because of Christ. Don't you limit what God can do in your life. I've taken far too long for this introduction. I guess I want to say this. Fundamental Baptist Church is far from perfect. But I tell you as a people, this is a great church. When we're battling the darkness. This church is an evangelistic church. And I assure you that Christ loves his church. And anytime he'll find a Philadelphia church, and every Bible student knows what I'm talking about when I say that, Revelation chapter 3. Anytime Christ finds a Philadelphia church, he's going to take care of it. He's going to bless it. And he does. And I would say on behalf of my family, thank you for your prayers. The church is good. Thank you for your support. It was a big funeral. And it was a pretty full auditorium. And people did not, some people, many people did not stay for the funeral service. But they got their foot in the door. And maybe they picked up a gospel track or picked up on the joy of the Lord while they were here. And who knows where it's going to go. But this ministry, the grace of God can be seen if our lives are right. I guess that's kind of what I'm trying to say. And I want to help you get your life right. And if your life isn't right, and if it is right this morning, I want to help you keep your life right. There's a few things we need to do as believers. And this is a blue-collar church. People work hard here. God bless you. Connector building, as of this spring, pretty much close to being done. And that was done by the people of this church serving God. We finally get done with school, MBA, Maplewood Baptist Academy, and all the graduations, and last week, kindergarten graduation, and a work day out at the camp, and all those people out there working, and a work week this week, and we've got a full summer of camps in front of us. We got everything on our plate that you can imagine. It is a busy, busy ministry, and a busy church, and glory to God, and all the glory goes to God for that. In all of that, let's not lose the sweetness of the Holy Spirit. In all of that, don't you start getting wore down, or start getting short fused and get to the place where people can no longer see the grace of God. By the way, if people cannot see the grace of God in our lives, Acts in chapter 11, then you're pretty much all used up. God just might well take you home. And that's where the sin of death comes into the picture, by the way, where you're no longer being used of God, and rather than shame the name of Christ, he just takes us on home. Here is how to do it. As a Christian, after you have gotten born again, I've got five things here, and I'll just very quickly. Not new, and these are things that should accompany salvation. Number one, confess Christ publicly. Be bold in your faith in Christ. Don't be afraid to verbalize how good God is to you. Romans in chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10, turn there if you would. With the heart, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That is everyday Christianity. If you can go a day without confessing Christ publicly, and without sharing Christ with someone who's unsaved, I'm telling you, you're out of step with God. You say, well, I'm kind of an introvert. That's fine. God made you that way. That's fine. If that's your personality, but take that personality and surrender it to God, and you'll be surprised how God will use you and what little efforts, what feeble efforts you make to publicly confess Christ. We believe. We get baptized, that's confessing Christ. We belong, that's confessing Christ. It's more than just showing up to church. It is all the time identifying with Jesus Christ. I will say this, and I'll get off this because I can't belabor this. I've got four more points. Unfurl the flag, the colors of heaven, the crimson red banner. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't blush to speak his name. In testimony, be bold enough to exalt him around unsaved people. Say, oh, they'll think I'm a nut. They probably think you're a nut anyway. You might as well identify with the winner. His name is Jesus Christ. And just be bold. Don't be afraid. You say, well, they've heard me say this before. Well, that's the old you. They've seen me do this before. Well, that's the old. Show them you're different now. Publicly confess Christ. It has got to be done. Mom, my mom, 30 souls. The fruit of the righteous is as a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. Number two, make sure you're a member of the church. Church membership. You know all the passages, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 25 and 26, how we're to provoke one another and excite one another by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You can find 100 things to do on Sunday. The devil will help you. You can find 1,000 things to do on Sunday night. The devil will help you. But do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 122 and verse 1. Psalm 122. And verse 1, I'll read. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment and thrones of the house of David. He says, I was glad when they said unto us, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Psalm 27, turn back just a few psalms. Psalm 27, David says in verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, and in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock. I got to tell you this. Let me testify. You did more for me on Wednesday by coming out to that funeral. I'll testify on behalf of my dad, my brother Bud, my sister Christy. I'll tell you, it's good to know there's a church that we belong to. Amen. That stands with us in the valley of the shadow of death. Now, it's all about Jesus. He's our rock, but the church is his church. And he loves and cherishes his church. And I want to help you in your life as a Christian, to be a Christian, to be Christian. Number one, confess Christ publicly. Be bold. Don't blush. Grow a backbone. Stand up. Make an opportunity. Build a platform when no one else is speaking up. Be bold. Number two, church membership. Get there. Get involved. There's a work of God that must be done. If you're not from the area, find a Bible preaching, Bible practicing, New Testament local church made up of biblicists, people who do not try to make the Bible or their religion fit their lifestyle, but it's just the other way around, where the Bible is our authority, Christ is our authority, and I make my life fit the Bible. That's being a biblicist. I try to measure up to the Word of God, because if you just start ripping apart the Bible and bring the Bible down to where you live, pretty soon the salt has lost its savor. And that's why people don't attend that kind of church. There'll be a little flash, and then the entertainment's gone, and then people fall away. I've seen it happen 100 times. Join a good church. Concentrate on daily Bible study. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. You've got to eat. If you don't eat, you're going to lose weight. And it won't be long and you'll be losing the wrong kind of weight. You'll be losing muscle mass unless you're eating correctly. The same is true spiritually. Believe me, I'm on a diet again and I know what I'm talking about. And I know how I run out of energy. And I know, you know, I'm trying to lose weight, and I think it's the lesser of two evils. And I jokingly referred to the Nutrisystem that I used a couple years ago. And I was on it for 30 days and lost almost 20 pounds. And you know what? And I kept most of that weight off up until this winter. So this winter, I put some pounds back on. Took me 2 years. So I figure if I lose the weight again, I'll have another 2 years of enjoyment and eating Big Macs and, you know, things of that nature. Cheeseburger, double cheeseburgers, and oh, mashed potatoes and gravy. Oh, I just so much. Those George Foreman grills, we got one of those. I cannot wait to use it again. You know the George Foreman grill where you cook your steak and all the grease drips off and goes down in a tray, and then you take that tray out and you pour it on your mashed potatoes. Oh, that's good stuff. When I was on that Nutrisystem, we laughed about it this week because I'm starting to meditate on food again. You know, it's like day five of my diet, so I'm meditating on food. We talked about it this week. I remember at one point in that Nutrisystem diet where I was so craving just real meat. And I had dry oatmeal in the morning, poured water on it, and one day I cheated and I cut up half a hot dog and put it in that oatmeal. Does that sound gross? Yes. It was heaven. It was heaven. And I ate it like I was a fugitive. Nobody could see me. You know, just, if you don't get Bible, if you don't develop an appetite for the Word of God, you're gonna become a cotton candy Christian. Before long, you won't have any spiritual stamina. You can put a smile on your face, but the first time something goes wrong, man, you're weak. You're emaciated. You just kind of fall into the devil and what he has for you. You've got to study the Word of God systematically. Systematically read Scripture. Systematically study the Scripture. Become a student. I would tell you here at Fundamental Baptist Church, be a student of the book. Learn, get them not only the milk of the Word, but the meat of God's Word as well. Concentrate on daily Bible study. Commune with God every day. Go to Luke in chapter 6. Luke in chapter 6. I think that's what I want. Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. Verses 5 through 15. Give us this day our daily bread. That's a powerful passage. That isn't really what I wanted. I don't know why I had that written. No, it's the right passage. I guess it's a parallel passage. But we need to commune with God every day. Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. We've got to be a people. Prayer, according to Matthew in chapter 6, prayer is not show business. It is not a production. Jesus said, you enter into your prayer closet and you close the door behind you and let's commune, let's talk. I'll speak to you by way of Holy Scripture and you speak to me by way of the Word of God and let's get some business done. The battle is on our knees. That's why praying is the hardest thing in the world to do. Say, oh, I wish praying was all I had to do. Praying's hard work. And if you don't think so, I guess you're not a prayer warrior because you have no idea what I'm talking about. Some of us, we have a hard time concentrating on anything for 3 minutes in silence. Prayer is hard work. We're to exalt Christ. We're to commune with Him. We're to fellowship with Him. We have the blessings of God. It's before us, and all we got to do is just look to Him. Commune with God every day. Publicly confess Christ. Join the church if you've not joined it. Get baptized. You got to get baptized if you haven't been baptized. But join the church. It's not salvation. It's identifying with Christ, publicly professing Christ, join the church, concentrate daily on Bible study, commune with God every day, and communicate the gospel to somebody every single day. John chapter 15. John in chapter 15 and verse 16. Find somebody today and tell them about Jesus. Verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. It doesn't say ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you and ordered you to go and entertain. He said, I have ordained you that you should bear fruit, bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Couple of things here. God wants you. God's ordered us and ordained us to evangelize, to bear fruit. And God has ordained us to get great things from Him in prayer. You want to be more Christian? Publicly confess Christ. You want to be more Christian? Join the church. Study your Bible every day. Have a prayer closet. You say, I know I need to do it, Pastor, but I'm so busy. Hogwash. You waste more time on your cell phone than... You waste more time watching TV. You waste more time feeding your body, doing the things that you want to do. Don't tell me you don't have time. You won't be able to tell Jesus you didn't have time at the Bema seat. Commune daily with God and communicate the gospel every day. The fruit of the righteous, Proverbs 11:30, is as a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Heaven's just around the corner. Day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. On heaven's timetable, the resurrection took place 2 days ago. Our brethren, our loved one that we have seen go on off to heaven, man, they just got there. Even if they've been there 50 years, they just got there. They just got there, man, the joy and the splendor and the glory. And you've heard people say this before, the life we live on this earth, it's just a drop in the bucket. It's just a little, and it's gone. Just a little blip, and it's gone. And it would be foolish to waste this opportunity called life and not use it for God.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.